Hello, and welcome to episode 113 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. It's a bit of a different show this week, but I'm still going to do the intros anyway. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me for this week's extra special show is the creator of the superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Our very own Indiana Jones, take that however you want, Mr. Tony Esmond.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm trying to sound normal because when you meet me in person, everyone go, you're a wanker, like Peach Stone. And I'm actually quite normal in real life.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, because this week is an extra special show. You'll hear for yourselves what people were like when they met him face to face. Because, it's the London Super Comic Con special this week. As we talk now, we're probably all recovering from what, let's face it, we can honestly say it's going to be an ace weekend, even though we're recording this intro early. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Or it was amazing. I've already lost it already. But
you're doing brilliant.
We've got lots of audio here for you this week. So check it out. You never know what secrets and surprises and God knows what you'll hear over the next God knows how. We probably go mad by the end of it.
Apologies for our terrible interviewing technique as well.
Yeah.
Just sort of ranting and shouting at people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, get used to that. So here you go. Here's all the talk from the shop floor of London Super Comic Con 2017. So it's London Super Comic Con weekend, and we're here.
For a while, we've been like half four.
We've started to do the intro a bit later.
Because we've been talking all the time.
We've been talking to so many people, haven't we? Non-stop. Non-stop.
There's a bloke who had a fight. Oh, he's come back.
Oh, there's been so much drama today. We've almost seen a fight, and it wasn't anything to do with us. For anyone else,
we didn't even start it.
No, we just watched.
Yeah, it's a fight over sketch covers.
Yeah,
who sorted it out?
Gareth
A. Hopkins,
the lovely Gareth.
And inside a secret, I think he was also the cause of said argument by arranging the lineup of the queue, and it kind of backfired.
Have you just thrown him under the bus?
Yeah.
He proper stood down. It was like a face-off. It was like high noon.
Yeah,
he done him.
It was so exciting. Yeah. Do you see what you're missing by not being at the show, folks?
Yeah.
But don't worry, we're gonna endeavour to get you interviews and little clips of audio. There'll probably be stuff of us talking to each other. Tony's just looking.
Where did this tin come from? Who bought this tin? There's somebody bought a money tin that says "Sparkle and Shimmer."
It was me.
It's got pictures of penguins, bears,
and a scarf. There's a polar. It's a Christmas tea tin. What can I say? I can't attest to its origin. It's from work. I just picked it up.
That's what you get when you come to our table. Nothing but quality.
As well, look.
Yeah. We got presents, but.
Sarah Harris brought us presents.
Yeah.
We've had a few presents this morning, haven't we?
Yeah. We've been very, very lucky so far, and probably spent too much already.
Yeah.
In my head, I've spent so much money already.
Yeah. I was a bit upset this morning, so I thought I spent money because I was upset, I think.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah. Cheer myself up, because Vince stayed over my house last night, and we had a rule. My one rule. What was my rule?
No wanking on the towels.
No stand-up wheeze, because they're too noisy, and you did a stand-up wee in the middle of the night.
No, I never.
Well, who was it?
It wasn't his wife.
Okay, no more tonight, though, yeah?
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. They're always dangerous anyway. Anyway, now, look forward
close
to
the door, though, yeah?
Yeah, oh well, never. Like a saloon. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the audio that we get, folks, and you'll probably witness us get more and more tired as it goes on.
We complain how tired we are all the time.
We will, we will. But that's
we
why.
We've got one chair.
We do have one chair.
Yeah. I can't sit in it because I look like that bloke out of Little Britain sitting between the two of you.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I'm here with Iqbal Ali from Mild Frenzy Comics. What's Mild Frenzy? Is that not really bad frenzy, but...
It's not crazily frenzy, but it's kind of mild.
You can go worse if you want to get worse.
It's not contagious, so basically... Yeah.
Now, we were chatting yesterday, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
We were chatting about a book you're doing, and it's based in Bangladesh, your story, isn't it? Which is it from where you're from or where your parents are from?
Yeah, well, where my parents are from, and it's kind of where I originate from, but I wasn't born and brought up there or anything. But I have visited there, and it's the setting is kind of based around the village that we stayed at when I was much younger.
That's really interesting. It's not something we see. Just tell us a little bit more about it, if you don't mind.
So basically, it's the setting is a Bangladeshi village. It's in Sylhet, and it's in the outskirts. It's outside the main city, so it's surrounded by forest. When you get a lot of rain, it gets washed over.
Right.
They have a bazaar, and the one thing that I can remember from when I was younger is when I went with my uncle, and we used to go go shopping, in the evenings, and you just used to sit at a bench and at the shop. They used to give you tea, used to have a tea, some chat for a bit, and then an hour or so later, saying, okay, so what do you want to buy? And then say, oh yeah, what about these? And say, no thanks. And then that was kind of like the life there. You just
a little bit like an English comic convention.
Yeah. Just kind of browsing. No, I'm browsing. I'm just here for the tea. And so it's kind of like a nice atmosphere there. So
you base your comic around that sort of social environment, have you? Or
yeah, well, that social environment comes into play, I think, in book three of the series. In books one and two, it's kind of like book one. Kind of deals more around the just introducing you to the cast of characters around this slum village. So it's kind of like it's a village, but everyone's kind of like in everyone's faces.
Okay.
So they have these really small shacks that they live in and stuff like that. So
it's almost living in each other's pockets, almost knowing each other's business.
So the main character Aya she's a paranormal investigator. So when some entity possesses the forest, she gets involved, and it's kind of like that sort of story. Her dad's not really happy with her getting involved with the paranormal side and stuff like that. He's had previous dealings with that. Okay. So yeah, it's kind of like that. That's the general.
Is there a Bangladesh sort of folklore element to it? Is there, or is it characters you've made up? And
there's characters I made up. There's a little bit of Bangladeshi folklore to it. If I'm going to be honest, there's not that much, because there's a little bit that comes into it in the third issue.
Okay.
A lot of the folklore tends to be around fishing for some weird reason.
Okay. Yeah,
so the fishing gets introduced in book three. Maybe book two even.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. So what else? So you've got quite a few books here. What other sort of stuff are you doing at the moment, Iqbal?
The first book I did was Strange Skies, so it's around about a plane full of passengers who get sucked through a wormhole and they end up flying in strange skies, all set on board the confines of the cabin.
Okay.
It's all about the fear of what's out there. It's kind of like got some Hitchcock vibes to it. So like the style of the artwork and stuff is harkening back to those 1960s kind of like Hitchcock thrillers.
Right. So you write, do you draw as well, or?
Yeah, I wrote and drew Strange Skies, even though I got it inked by a guy called Stephen Baskerville.
Yes. Yep.
He did a great job in kind of rendering that kind of like 1960s vibe. I think he did a great job on that. I did the artwork for Nightingale Protocol, which is about software installed in humans, so when you fall ill, these holographic doctors come online and try and fix you.
Okay.
It's a medical emergency sort of thing.
Yeah.
So Stephen Baskerville did the inking on that. I didn't do the artwork for Aya Begum, but there is a version where I did do the artwork for the first book.
Okay.
Because I wanted to go on to write and work on the next book, Attack of the Marauders, I handed that book over to an artist to just sort of finish so I can spend more time writing these other books.
Did you find that strange, handing over your art duties someone else.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when it's a setting that you know really well, and it's not a setting you can kind of, you know, if he's a Spanish guy,
right? Okay.
Spanish artist. So if he hasn't been to Bangladesh or anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like trying to convey the feeling of that marketplace and of that whole environment.
You're working a lot harder as a writer, aren't you, doing that?
Yeah. And also with volume two, I think we almost came to blows, but it's kind of like it was a marketplace, and I said no, that's a European marketplace.
Oh, okay.
As I copy exactly, and I send loads and loads of images to like photographic imagery. And yeah, I was a real pain in the butt.
Yeah,
to try and get that kind of like the authenticity down. It's like, no, you don't stand behind a stall in Bangladesh. You sit on the stall. It's like a platform thing, and all the details like that. So yeah,
that's really good. So where can, if anyone who's listening wants to buy a copy, where will they go? Where can they get your stuff?
The books are available on Amazon. So if they search for me, Iqbal Ali on Amazon, graphic novels, they should see my range of books.
Do you have a Twitter address or a Facebook presence?
Twitter is mildfrenzy, @mildfrenzy, I think.
That sounds about right.
And then Facebook is mildfrenzy as well. So,
brilliant. Yeah. Thanks, dude. Really interesting. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
I'm here with, I'm finally convinced Daryl to talk to us.
I've been hassling you all weekend, and he's taken this long.
Now, you were talking to me yesterday about a really interesting exhibition you've got coming up.
Yes.
Are you able to talk about that?
Or yeah, open? Can.
Cool.
Yeah, sod it. I'll say fuck it, because I'm an awesome pod, eh? So I've convinced a gallery in Cardiff called Show Gallery to exhibit some of my work. And the recent kind of illustrations that people have been seeing online is about a kind of world where there's a war between artists. So one half of them that are called the Popo Squad basically want to control art, put it in exhibitions, put money to it, and like kind of control it. And then there's the Peace Brigade that are these like ragtag bunch of like street artists that just want it to be free and everyone get involved and kind of have this real big positive vibe. So there's this kind of like war going on in this. I haven't established the place yet, but there's this war going on between these two kind of groups. So the idea of the exhibition is to, rather than put it into a book, I'm going to do like a fakey kind of reporter gallery. So you'll go in, get a book, and you'll see all these scenes from like a war scene that's kind of been happening between the two people, and learn about this world and this kind of conflict going on. So I'll put like flags in there and like bits of artwork that may have been there, and like badges and like bits of wall maybe that have been taken away with painting on it. So more of like a immersive kind of experience, really. And hopefully it'll work.
So when's that? That's November. Have you got any dates or?
Yeah, it's like November the 12th for like a week. I've got Sarah Millman, the shoulder pusher. Yeah,
shoulder dancer.
Yeah, I've got her. She's like, I'll bring the taff. Massive or Taff?
That's all right. It's the name of the river, it's fine.
Yeah, it's like Taffy or something she's calling them. So, yeah, I know. Classic. So she's going to bring that gang along, apparently. And yeah, hopefully it's going to be pretty badass. So,
I mean, definitely let us know, because we'd love to either get there or promote it. And I know there's a lot of listeners in Wales who listen. Yeah,
that's cool. I mean, I think for me, it's a way to kind of breach the comic art gap. Because whenever I show stuff to people, if it's an art kind of dealer or whatever, they're like, oh, you're kind of comics, I don't really know where you fit. Okay. And if I go to comics, people are like, oh, it's kind of art, I don't know really where it fits. So
yeah.
I'm hoping to kind of...
You've got the sort of graffiti edge to it as well.
Yeah. Well, I do like loads of paste-ups and wall murals and stuff like that anyway. So I do just everything, I'd say. So hopefully, yeah, man, I think it's going to be... Yeah, it'd be good to have the awesome pod guys along and we get like... I think I'm going to have beer there and stuff and music, so I might get Ed to play his band. We'll have some like rock going on, we'll have art, we'll have, you know, have some free bits going on and do some drawing, and yeah, man, it'd be pretty sweet.
Where can people find you on the run-up to that, or just buy your stuff?
You can catch me at 4p.co.uk, which is F-O-R-P-E.co.uk, and I'm at Mr. Thorpe on Twitter and Instagram, where you'll see me drawing daily. Yeah.
Good. Nice one. Thanks, Dave.
No worries, dude. Just got it.
So we're here at London Supercon Comic Con 2017, and I'm speaking with Ash Pure, the creator, artist, writer of The Lion and the Unicorn. Can you tell us a bit more about your webcomic?
It is also a webcomic, actually, and for the web, I reformat it from page to web because I make it using a technique combining photography and rotoscope and graphic design and typography, just basically to make it as long a process as it could possibly be.
Did you do it like starting off with web and then you thought, I'm going to go to print later, or was it print always?
It was web first. It actually first appeared as a digital comic way back in 2007, and we called them digicomics, but they were actually flash animatics. And they looked nice. It was called Temesis, and there was 6 episodes, and they looked really nice. They were very shiny, but it wasn't real comics because it would just play through. It used comic form, with the paneling and the way it told the story, but it wasn't real comics. What I love about comics is you control time, and you have ultimate control over the way you progress through the story. So I managed to get funding. This was way back when there was money for things like this. But then it kind of all crashed. The world crashed, and it crashed down. And I kind of left it for a little while. But this had lived in my head for so long that it came back. And I've always loved print. People talk about the immediacy of digital, but for me, there's nothing more immediate than being able to pick up a book and hold it and have it there. And there's no buffering, you know.
I mean, there's still a lot you can do with webcomics. If you're doing it in Flash, you looked into kind of doing anything else with kind of like animated webcomics?
Well, now that I kind of took it back to print, because then in print I could rebuild it. I kind of took it all apart and rebuilt it the way that it had looked in my mind. Because the other thing with having money to make it was, I mean, it was amazing, don't get me wrong, but it also meant that other people had to have their say on what
you were doing.
Exactly.
How much money was spent.
Exactly, and I mean that's the fair trade-off. I'm not saying it wasn't amazing to go into work and make comics every day, but to then have it back fully under my control, I was able to take it all apart and kind of build it back up and build the way I wanted it to, and that meant that I could get the storytelling right.
Yeah.
And for me, the print, it's kind of turn of a page and the sort of pacing that you've got with a kind of finite a page and then a finite number of pages. That was much better for the pacing and the kind of the storytelling. I also love episodic, so I like the fact that there's 4 parts of this, of Volume 0, The King is Dead. Yeah, I know Volume 0 is a bit silly, but I like it. And it's accurate. This is the bit before the beginning.
So was it hard repurposing the comic from the on-screen digital to print?
Not really, because the way I trained as a graphic designer, so I laid it all out in design. So it was a case of just bringing the assets in and sort of sometimes I had to kind of jigger it a little bit, but it was just laying it out for a page. And now I'm putting it back onto the web, and I'm currently developing a digital platform. I'm calling it a story world exploration game. The game aspect will be you can sit and read the comic through in a linear way, and there's not actually going to be a choose your way adventure part, but the interactivity comes from exploring the story world. So they say there's a panel where a character's reading a newspaper, you can click and it will launch up the newspaper. You can read the newspaper, then you can read other newspapers, and then you can get deeper into the other kind of media of the world, and that means it doesn't have to impact the story. It doesn't have to impact the dialogue, because I know, especially in genre fiction, and this is a kind of, I call it sci fantasy, because it's got technology, but it's set in the present, where technology replaces magic, let's say. Magic being telepathic and telekinetic power. But I don't want to, in genre fiction, you often get that clunky dialogue where it's this kind of expositional, and it's very laboured, and you're trying to sort of crowbar all this stuff in, and it kind of really sort of deforms the story. So I want to keep all of that out for the people that want it, and the people that don't want it, that's
fine. But also, like, readers who are really interested in that kind of the Batman, if you've got the option of not being forced upon you, but if you want to read more, you click inside the thing. That's a really good idea. Pretty good format.
And then the sort of game aspect comes in, that if you collect, if you sort of, the deeper you go, the more you unlock, and then you unlock Okay. Sort of, you get story, you get gates in the story that you can, that are cliffhangers, and you can progress through, but maybe not until you've unlocked the, you've gone back and found the stuff and unlocked it, or maybe you can pay, but I know pay to play is a dirty word, but come on, we've got to try and make some money.
Yeah, you've got to make some money somehow. Probably making it at London Super Comic Con. So can you tell us a little bit about the Lion and the Unicorn story-wise?
Yes, so yeah, it's an epic urban sci-fantasy saga. That's catchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
We need to whittle that down a little bit. Set in an alternate reality, London. It starts in London, because that's where I'm from originally. That's where I manifested in this sector of space-time anyway. And it's Temesis is the name of the city. And in this reality, magic equals telepathy, telekinesis, and that's accessible through patch technology. So you get a little patch, pop it on your skin. If you get the good technology, quote unquote, you can't see him, I'm doing the fingers.
He's doing them.
Don't believe me. Then you get full access to your mental, physical, spiritual capabilities, and it's as if Apple and Google and Scientology sort of ran the country.
Nice.
And you can live in their you can live in their utopian wonderland, but you have to agree to their terms and conditions.
Gotcha.
And not everybody reads the small print.
No.
So then down in the what they call the red city or the dirty city, they call the white city the utopian bottom-up part. Down in the dirty city you can get a hacked, cracked pirate patch that's been boosted to often to lethal force. And obviously the power is much, much stronger, but it's much more dangerous.
Yeah.
And use of these illegal technologies has now been classed terrorism by the new king who's just come. It's not really a spoiler when I say what happened to the old king, because the volume zero is called The King is Dead. So we've got a new king, and he brings the Lion, who is his old bodyguard from when he was a kid. It was his mum's bodyguard. She died in a kind of alternate Princess Di scenario.
Okay.
And he's she was from the kingdom of Nubia, and he has gone back and studied and now come back to the land of his birth, Albion, and he wants to do something. So he brings back the Lion, who's this old embittered war hero who was actually exiled because he was blamed for the Queen's death. And then the Unicorn, she's a young rising psychic knight who Jonathan's been sparring with at the Royal Institute, the Centre for Psychic Training. And she, without his knowledge, is put into place as his new bodyguard by those machinating back corridor types. You know the type.
Yeah, I do.
And Volume Zero is basically getting the Lion and the Unicorn into the same room. And obviously, at first, they fight.
Yeah.
And then they don't necessarily make friends, but Jonathan says they've got to work together to save the world.
And it's that partnership that drives the narrative.
Yes.
The two of them.
And it's more her arc that drives it. She'll be the one who experiences the most change. She's got the most. Lion will kind of stay the same. He's kind of sort of James Bond before they try to make him complex and relatable.
Gotcha.
And
yeah.
He's that sort of old school action hero. So he gets the better lines, he gets the better dialogue. But it's, and perhaps he's the one that you want to know more about his past. Like he's perhaps the immediately sort of cooler one, but it's her narrative that drives it, and
oh,
it's
nice
her
one.
That will it's her story that we're telling ultimately.
Well, I'm looking to purchase a copy later today, and I can give it a full feedback on another show.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, nice speaking with you, Ash.
Lovely to speak to you.
Take care.
Cheers.
Okay, I'm very lucky to be here with Bart Sears. But we got a press release from you, I'm going to say about a year ago, around Ominous Press, which is a bit of a new venture which you've got a stake in. Did you want to talk a little bit about it? Or?
Yeah, sure. Ominous Press is a company I started with four friends of mine, Sean Husfar, Ron Mars, and Andy Smith.
Yep.
And I've created a bunch of properties and a bunch of ideas in a whole Ominous universe.
Okay.
It's a shared universe, and we're putting out three titles with IDW. The first one just came out a couple weeks ago called Dread Gods.
Oh, I missed that. Right, that okay.
Ron Mars is writing, and Tom Rainey's doing the art.
Oh, Tom's great as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
We love big fan of Tom's.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Cool.
The stuff is just great.
So how did that come about? How did you decide that was where you wanted to go? I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of you, Justice League. EXO especially. Oh, my God.
Oh, thanks,
I understand
man.
There's no pages left. but I bullied him into admitting.
Not at all.
So how did you come to get to that point?
Well, I created a lot of stories and ominous stuff. I've always done that. You know, since I was an adult, I was writing these stories and creating these ideas. And I had created Ominous Press back in the 90s.
Okay.
And it was very short-lived. And the guys I was, my partners, were all involved in the original Ominous Press 20 years ago.
Okay.
And we had met up at Baltimore Comic Con accidentally. And we just started talking, and it just came about that we said, let's do it again.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
So,
I love anything that starts like that, because there's, was there some beer involved, or?
Generally.
So did you want to talk a bit about the characters that are involved?
Yeah, the book I'm writing and drawing is called Giant Killers.
Right, brilliant.
And it's, it deals, the first few storylines deal with Archon the Giant Killer. And he's kind of a tortured, twisted warrior soul. And his story sort of gives a glimpse of this overall epic story that's in the background of the Ominous universe.
Okay.
And he's joined by a young girl, Jason, who is integral to things that happen in the Ominous universe. And it's a cross-genre story. It deals in a medieval world. It deals in a sort of a now-type superhero style world and some future type world, so it's very cross genre.
Right, it sounds. I'm getting a little bit of a New Gods vibe to it, maybe something like that. Is that an influence of yours, or not so much?
Not so much in that one. New Gods might be more Dread Gods oriented.
Right, okay.
The Dread Gods are these beatific godlike characters that, in times of extreme stress or when they need to, they warp into these beautiful creatures with incredible powers. What they come to find out is they only exist in a sort of futuristic video game that's used to control the masses.
Right, okay.
And
right, okay, yeah.
When they, in the real world, they live in these tanks. In the real world, when they warp into these ugly, monstrous, hideous creatures. And their story really starts when they realize that and break out.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Oh, I can't wait to see it. It looks amazing.
Yeah, the images, Tom's doing some great stuff.
Yeah, Tom's great. The images you sent through on the press release look fucking amazing.
Yeah, thanks. There's a lot more now.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine, yeah. Yes, how you enjoying England? Have you done cons here before?
No, this is my first time.
I haven't seen you before.
Yeah, I did a con in Germany, which was the only foreign, European convention I've ever done. That was 15 or 20 years ago.
Wow, okay.
But this is my first time here in the UK.
Are you making much of it? Are you staying a bit longer? Or
no, unfortunately. I came a day early, but I was so jet-lagged, I mostly slept.
I know. That's a good thing when we go to America, because we suddenly it's like the middle of the night, but it's the middle of the afternoon for you,
yeah.
So we get an extra 6 hours. Yeah, yeah. Are you going to get around and see anything or do anything?
Maybe a little tonight. Depends on how many sketches I get done and how much free time I have.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so I hope to. I'd like to go to the heart of London and, you know, just...
Well, you're not far away
down there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I hear. So maybe we can jet down there and see some things. But I've seen a few pubs, which was one of my big goals.
Yeah, we like the inside of a pub. Look at him. He don't like the inside of a pub. Dude, I'm an absolute big fan. I love your stuff.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm here with Dave White at Avery Hill. Lovely to see you as always, my love.
Pleasure to see you, Vincent.
It's already gone wrong. Now, you've got loads of books on your table. Whenever I see your table, it seems like the range is just growing and growing. Do you have any more for 2017 coming out? You can't possibly.
I think we've got two more, possibly three.
Bloody hell.
Are
any of those launching at Thought Bubble? Or,
No.
You're probably the only person not launching something at Thought Bubble.
No, it's actually a pleasure, because last year, I think we had two or three launching at Thought Bubble, and by this time.
Yeah.
Relative to November, we were in like the midst of trying to get three books ready.
It's pretty stressful, isn't it?
It can be a little bit. It can be, because everyone's going to have something to work through, some kind of challenge, whether there's delays in finishing up the art or printing process or whatever. But with it moving forward a couple of months, our schedule was kind of set long before that decision was made. So we're actually just going to quite enjoy it, I think, and just kind of we're going to SPX the week before.
He always enjoys it, just for the record.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Not it's not a stressful nightmare every year. No, we always love Thought Bubble, but we're doing SPX the weekend before in Washington, so it's actually quite nice, yeah. Because we get back on the Tuesday morning, and then we've got to get ourselves sorted out and go up to Leeds.
See, this is something I wanted to talk to you about, because you actually have started doing the stateside shows as well, like Washington, and you do TCAF in Toronto, yeah, don't you? That's, yeah. That's next year, isn't it?
Well, we've been lucky enough to do TCAF the last 2 years.
Yeah. How did that come about? Like, you know, because obviously, like, you're an independent UK publisher,
yeah.
And then, you know, you go over to the show. Did you seek it out, or was it like word of mouth, or?
TCAF's got an amazing reputation, so we always knew. We knew some people that had been before, and, yeah. And they just talk in such glowing terms about it. And because we released a new book by Tilly Walden around May 16, because they like people to launch stuff there, yeah. as most cons do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's a ballot. And yeah, you apply, and if you're lucky enough to get in, you get in, and we were, and it was so it was 2016. That was fantastic, just an incredible show,
yeah.
And we were lucky enough to go.
The organisation's pretty spot on, isn't it?
It's outstanding. Yeah, I mean, it's in the Toronto Reference Library, which is a huge, amazing, sprawling building with loads of room, and they fill it up with. There's no real big publishers there. You get the likes of First, Second,
yeah,
but the, kind of more the independent side. So you don't get any of the big two, or you know, the Images, IDWs of this world. So it's all small press, independent publishers from across the States and Europe, and they invite people over, and it's just incredibly well organised. Just like the bit that blew my mind is you have to send all your books out there, obviously. Yeah. In advance, if you're from overseas, so you send them to one address, they collate it, and then they drop it off at your table the night.
Oh, really? Because yeah. I have wondered, like, doing a stateside show, like, what do you do in terms of stock? That's an extra logistical nightmare, isn't it? And a cost.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, and you've got to do it, you know, kind of a fair way in advance.
And, you guys have a lot of books, don't you? So
yeah, and you've got to judge what to take, because obviously it's more difficult to get stuff back.
Yes.
And luckily enough. We've judged it about right the last couple of times. We've only had a few things left by the end of the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So we've kind of only had to take a few books back in our luggage. But they just kind of drop it off at your table the night before, so that when you get there on the Saturday morning, or you can set up the Friday night, they're just there waiting for you. And there's volunteers everywhere. It's just a fantastic show. We've not done SPX before. This is the first time we're doing it. But we're looking forward to it, because, again, it's got...
And that's Washington, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just outside of Washington, D.C., a place called Bethesda. The Ignatz Awards are there on the Saturday night, and we've got...
How many days is it?
It's two. It's the Saturday and Sunday. And we've got a book nominated for Outstanding Anthology.
Oh, what book's that?
The Deep Space Canine Anthology from Comic Book Slumber Party.
Ah, yes, which is on your table, isn't it? Yeah, it looks great.
Which was amazing. I mean, it's always exciting to get... I mean, awards are subjective, we get that.
Yeah.
But it's always exciting when someone's work gets recognised.
Yeah. What's that book about?
I think it's probably, without looking at it, six or seven artists, with a lead artist doing the main story and other artists doing flashback or contextual scenes. Hannah Chapman, who kind of nominally organises Comic Book Slumber Party, has created a character called Captain Greasy, who's their mascot.
Captain Greasy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know some people that could probably go by that name.
she's an anthropomorphic canine character.
Is she the one on the cover?
Yeah. So she's their mascot. She's their main character in all their books.
Yeah.
And they tend to, Hannah tends to pick, she writes a story, she tends to pick settings and environments to write the story in. And this one's a sci-fi setting, which is why it's Deep Space Canine. So it's a huge amount of fun.
It's been a big success since.
Yeah, it's going really well. It's nice to get it. You know, we can go to SPX with a little bit of momentum behind it, because we've got something to talk about with the nomination. So, it's a really fun book. Really fun.
So when you say the nominations, is there like there's a proper event that they put on that you're going to attend and stuff?
Apparently so. Yeah, we didn't go last year. Tilly Walden won a couple of awards at the Ignatz last year, but we weren't there. for the end of summer, and I love this part which we put out by her. It's the Saturday night, and we need to look into it. I don't know whether I need to hire a tux or I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
You look good in a tux.
I always look good in a tux.
Daniel Craig.
Oh, wait, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, maybe he's had a couple of rough years, but yeah.
He's had a life.
I'll take that. Yeah, you know, you've got to get out and about, haven't you?
So, SPX is when again?
It is, so if Thought Bubble's kind of the 16th, I think it's the 7th to the 9th, something like that. Yeah. Couple of weeks time.
So if there's any American listeners, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
loads of stuff to get. Yeah. I mean, the thing about your table, there's always so much range. So I see like wonderful sort of like almost poetic art books, and you get something that almost looks straight up humour books.
Yeah, yeah.
What's this one there with the circle on the cover?
Goat Herded by a US creator called Charlotte Frade, who's quite
very striking cover. Yeah.
Charlotte's amazing. He's in his early 20s. Incredible artist and writer.
I hate him already.
Amazing to work with as well. Just incredible ideas. Quite manga influenced, and again, it's kind of a sci-fi dystopian leading book. We came across Charlo's work online, just loved it, got in touch, and started to develop the project with him. And we launched that at TCAF actually.
Yeah,
and Charlo joined us for it, and it went really well. He's a great guy.
It must be great for like those, you know. Because you work with quite a few sort of American creators, don't you, to see them face to face at the stateside shows?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at Charlotte, we did everything over email. And so every creator you work with through the editing process, some don't need any kind of editing support at all, and you just kind of tidy up the book at the back end of the process. Some welcome a little bit more input. And so Charlotte was quite a lot of input, but just all via email. So we hadn't actually spoken to each other outside of email before meeting, which is unusual for us, because I think it's important, especially when you're editing a book, to have a relationship with the creator, so that you can both get the best result out of the process.
Communication is the key, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know, we worked over email, and it was absolutely fine. So it was great to meet Charlo, and at SPX we've been joined on a couple of days by George Wildsoul, who's book we put out earlier in the year as well, Ghosts Etc., which is a collection of three of his two self-published comics and a new comic that he created for that collection.
Yeah, I've seen that about on social media. Quite a striking sort of cover.
Incredible. It's incredible. George is an incredible artist. His profile's really kind of on the rise. He's been doing editorial pieces for The Guardian and various kind of art magazines and stuff. Ricky, who I run Avery Hill, we've edited that book with George. But again, it'll be the first time we get to meet him in person. So it's always nice to do that.
So you've got two books left to release this year. Yeah. Can you say what they are yet?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's Cold in the River at Night by Alex Potts, who we put out a short comic by Alex three, 4 years ago now, I guess. This is his first kind of long form story.
So you do as well, like you cultivate like relationships with artists, don't they? You do have artists that come back to do a second book.
Absolutely. We certainly try to. I mean, one of the real challenges and frustrations I have is there's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
Both from a time point of view, a financial point of view, you know, there's only so much we can effectively produce and promote. Yeah. And the list of people we work or have worked with is getting longer and longer and longer, and they've always got stuff they're working on. So it's just kind of finding the right opportunity to slot these projects in. Yeah. And then that should be out for probably November. And that's an incredible book. If you've not come across Alex's work before, his background is in animation, but he's an incredible cartoonist, and you can see in the way that he sets up his panels and the way that he kind of composes his work that he's got that animation feel to it. But at the same time, there is all of his work is kind of ink and pen, and just tied it up digitally. So he's got an amazing feel, and that's without going into huge amounts of detail. It's about a guy who moves to France with his girlfriend. Their relationship doesn't kind of tested by moving to the French countryside, so he decides he needs something to do with his time to help, you know, kind of to stay, because they're around each other all the time and they're just bickering. So he goes to try and work for this French carpenter who makes coffins.
As you do.
And it goes from there. It's kind of it's a bit of a rites of passage story. Which, yeah, we've started to see the final pages, and it's just incredible. And the second book is called Izmir by B. Muir. B's from a Bristol-based creator. I think they're living in Nottingham at the moment. And that is a book about anthropomorphic characters again, but it's about art, creation, environment, living in cities. It's a real... B's just got these incredible ideas that they're bringing together for this book. So that's going to be pretty exciting as well. And that should be ready for Bristol Comic and Zine Fair, which is early October.
Of course, yes. So you're going to have a presence at Bristol Comic and Zine
Fair? Yeah, so we've got Bristol, and then that's the week before the Lakes, I think.
Yes,
so,
I believe it is.
Yeah, so that's kind of the busy September-October period. And then hopefully... if we can get it together in time, Ricky will be releasing the last instalment of Metroland, which is the comic he's been working on with Julia Shaler for the last...
We've talked about that a few times on the show.
Yeah, it's just, it's going to be... Every time I talk to him, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He just wants... He's wrapping the story up.
Yeah.
So that should be exciting as well. So that could hopefully be for the Lakes as well.
Awesome. So Bristol's the next time that any of our lovely UK listeners will be able to see you face to face?
No, it'll be Thought Bubble. So,
of course.
No, I
always forget that that's so early now.
I know. So yeah, we've got SPX, then Thought Bubble, then it'll be Bristol, and then the Lakes, and then we've got a few more things before the end of the year.
And then at some point, you'll have a rest.
Well, this is what's quite nice about Thought Bubble moving away from November. The last that used to be kind of the end of the season for us. But we've got, I think by the time we get to early November, we've only got maybe one or two 1-dayers left, so we'll have a little rest, and then
it'll be 2018 and you get to do it all over again.
We're just putting the final touches to our 2018 list, so we'll get all of the kind of autumn shows out of the way, and then we'll start telling people about the books we're doing for 2018, which I don't want to be kind of too hyperbolic, but we've got some pretty incredible books.
You know what that means? That means you're coming back on in the future, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Never a chore. Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, Vince.
All right, I'm here with Aaron. Now, Aaron, this is our second attempt to do this, because the first time the batteries went, and we've been talking about 10 minutes. So you are here partly representing, apart from getting comics signed by Dan Slott, are also partly representing Little Heroes. Did you just want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so Little Heroes is a charity I started in March. And what we do is we create comic-making kits and we send them out to children who are currently fighting long-term illnesses, basically. Okay. And that's the short and
short answer. So it's kind of like, would you have like laid-out panels and they fill them in?
So you get various things. You get a whole variety of stuff. So we give you a pre-panelled comic.
Okay.
So it's empty with just panels, and then we give you some stickers, you know, like the old Batman style boom bam, all those kind of effects. And then you get a how-to guide to draw by a lovely Dan Harris.
Oh, is it by Dan? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you get like crayons, pencils, colouring, all the works, pencil rubbers, you get everything. So yeah, it's a nice little kit.
That's a great idea, mate, as well. So you've got, I think you told me earlier, you're in three hospitals at the moment?
Yeah, our first original fundraiser was just for 100 kits as a trial. We wanted to see what it was like to get out there first, and then obviously tweak on any problems with it. And we put that into three hospitals. So we've done the Royal Marsden in Sutton. We gave some to the Rainbow Trust.
Okay.
And then another place called St. George's.
Is that in Tooting? There is a St. George's.
There's a couple, and I can't ever remember where this one is. I think it's Sutton, or Surrey, that way.
What's the feedback been like for it?
Yeah, the feedback we're getting is really great, and the kids are loving it. The play therapists, who are the ones that deal with the kids on a daily basis, trying to keep them entertained, they just said they absolutely love it. It's given them a nice little freedom to just take their mind off things for a few hours. And we're just literally getting people asking for them now. That's good. And now it's just like, now we need to create more.
So, I mean, we always recommend people who sort of have a pile of comics to give out to take them to hospitals. But this is kind of the next step. So they go from reading a pile to thinking, oh, I want to make one myself.
Well, so the original plan was to give out comics in the hospital.
Right.
But it turns out there's so much red tape that it just weren't worth it. It was like every comic... Every page had to be assigned, approved by that individual hospital to make sure it was like appropriate and it wasn't offending. And even if you gave them children's comics. So in the end, I was like, why not push it? It was going to have both. anyway, some comics, and create the kit. But in the end, it was like, I can get this out there quicker if I just ignore that part of it. Okay. So maybe one day, but the hassle wasn't worth it.
So where can people find you online? Where can people donate or help out?
So our website is littleheroescomics.co.uk. Our Facebook is Little Heroes Comics, and our Twitter is Little Heroes Kit. And basically, if you go to the website, there's a donate link there, and there's donate links on the social sites. So, yeah.
Thank you, dude. Brilliant.
No worries. Thank you.
Good. We would manage it a second time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're here with Greg,
Ty,
from the London Super Comic Con and Beyond Facebook group.
Yes.
This is your second day. You were here yesterday.
Yeah, came here last night. Got here about 5 o'clock and stayed till the end. It was really nice. It was quiet. Yeah. It was quiet. There's no two ways about it. But you know, the Groupon deals that they put out may not have been as successful as they hoped. It wasn't brilliantly marketed for Groupon. As I say, I think the marketing for this event hasn't been as good as it should have been.
Yeah, I was saying, like, there's no kind of real advertising outside, which I kind of think is missing a trick. They should definitely have banners out, at least, and stuff in the station. But are you saying you've tried to drum up interest on the Facebook group by offering, like, saying posty wares up on the group, and there's certain stores are offering around special deals for Beyonders?
Yeah, absolutely. We've asked a lot of the sellers to give discounts. I've been around to a lot of the sellers, giving them cards and say, like, you know, advertise your stuff on the group, tell them what you're offering, tell them the deals you're offering, because some of the offers they're doing, kind of like, you know, 10% off for the Beyonders, and t-shirts, you get a free t-shirt and things like that. You know, there's been loads of stuff been going on, and lots of the artists that are even in this room, they're all members of the group, but they're too nervous to actually advertise themselves. And I'm saying that this, if any of there's a time to actually advertise yourself, it's now, you know, because, you know, a lot of the people here go to MCM, they go to LFCC, but this is the event they've all joined, 3,000 of them, because they're interested in LFCC. This is the time to actually say something and come and see our stall, get a free badge, whatever.
I was going to say the group is a little more focused on cosplay, but the LSCC don't seem to have kind of gone for that angle this year. I'm not sure why. Do you have any ideas?
Well, I think that the core of what LSCC has always been about is comics.
Yeah.
I think kind of the last couple of years they kind of played up to the cosplayers to bring them in. I think that pushed away some of the people that like comics potentially, and they kind of saw it as a kind of an event where it's only catering to cosplayers. But then you get to an event where it's like this, where actually the cosplayers bring spectacle, they bring, you know, new stories, they bring excitement, you know, and actually that fills a convention. And I think there needs to be a balance between those two kind of markets. You said that the group is relatively cosplay focused. I always find that the cosplayers are just more chatty.
I think that could be the perception of them being a bigger presence than perhaps they are.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. Like, you know, I think we've got a lot of people that are talking about comics, but, you know, whenever we try to get comic kind of conversations going in the group, it's not so easy, you know, because quite often people are reading, even if you see Sarah Harris, who's the other admin, her Wednesday pull list thing, it would be the same people, again, saying, I'm doing this, I'm reading this, and no one's necessarily reading the same thing. And also, because of spoilers, they don't want to talk about the comics and go, oh, it was great, this person died, and they're like, oh, ruined it, I haven't got to that, you know. So it makes it very difficult, I think, whereas the cosplayers can say, I'm building this, and other people are like, oh, I'm building this, and it's all a shared experience. I think that's why it gets a bit more kind of, I don't know,
so kind of like
presence.
The balance may be a bit out of kilter this year, and maybe there's lessons to be learned for the
Absolutely. I think there's something about kind of saying that, you know, if you cater purely for comic lovers, then you're not going to get the numbers that are going to pour in, because you've got London Comic Mart, you know, you've got people buying things off of Amazon and eBay and all that kind of stuff. Actually coming out to a convention is more of a hassle, and especially with London tonight at the moment, with Southeast and the trains are all gone, the buses are on divert outside, there's roadworks, you know, there's a lot of upset about moving it from Excel to the Business Design Centre. Date change, they don't want to do it on the same weekend as Carnival, because that's on in Notting Hill, people don't want to come to London. There's loads of stuff that's kind of gone against what they've planned here, but in its it's a nice venue. It's a really nice venue. I've never really had a problem with the venue. I've always quite liked it because I've done a few events here like through work and stuff, and that's always been quite good. So I've never had a real doubt about it. But when we saw stuff like there was only 66 vendors, and then when you, if someone's coming from something like MCM, and that was their last convention, and there was hundreds of stalls and vendors and celebrities coming to this, seems so sleepy, and I think that's going to be a downfall for this event.
Well, thanks for chatting to us.
Oh, no, thank you very much.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Okay, so I'm here with David Hine, the writer of Strange Embrace, and one of my favourite recent ones, A Thousand Yards Stare. So now, if one read it, you would think that it's based on the life of Shaky, because he's kind of the character, isn't he, at the desk. But is it really you, David, or...?
I don't really make that distinction between reality and fantasy. Fantasy, I think, is probably in some ways more real than reality, because in a few years' time, we're going to be dead. But our comics will still be there, so they actually have a more solid reality than we do.
The only true drama is a documentary.
Yes. Whether that is me in the comic, I mean, basically, Shaky gets to draw the characters, so honestly, I don't think he's really rendering me as I deserve. But
You're quite lumpy. You look like you're quite
Yeah. No, it's interesting though. If you've ever seen Shaky at a convention, there's definitely certain aspects that you could identify with.
I met Shaky. I think we were chatting about it yesterday. I met Shaky at Safari. The Safari Festival in London a couple of weeks ago, and I was taking his picture for an article we're online, and we had to have a couple of minutes of preparation. I'm not sure if he's getting into character right in front of me. But so you've worked with Shaky for a long time now, haven't you? How do you enjoy it, and why is he? Because he's kind of your go-to guy for certain stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, he has been. Yeah, there's a couple of people that I really really like working with that I just feel on a level with. Okay. And Shaky's one of them. I mean, we've actually known each other since the 1970s.
Oh, well, okay.
We actually lived in the same house, and I published his first comic strip in a college fanzine that I did.
Oh, really? What's the name of that, if you don't mind?
Joe Public Comics.
Okay, right, real.
And he did a strip called Hitler on Ice. So it had Nazis and insects, you know, all those recurring...
The regular themes, yeah.
But we never actually worked together until we did Bulletproof Coffin.
Okay.
Because Shaky had kind of been out of the business for quite a long time, and me too. And I came back to start writing for Marvel and DC. And then I met up with Shaky at Bristol Comics Convention, and we were like... We knew we wanted to do something different to what we were actually doing. And Shaky just said I got a bunch of ideas. I've got this idea of this coffin that moves across this deserted landscape. And he gave me a list of characters. You know, there's like Ramona, Queen of the Jungle, and... you know, all the characters that ended up being in Bulletproof Coffin. Okay. It was like... six characters in search of a story. So I just came up with a way to string all these insane ideas together in an even more insane story, really.
So what sort of book does David Hine... I mean, that's almost he's come to you with a story. Is that something that sits comfortably with you? Or would you rather go from point one?
The thing is, it didn't feel like... It's why I like to work with certain artists. I mean, I write all kinds of stuff. I mean, you see the kind of things I do. I do superhero stuff. Yep. I do science fiction, Storm Dogs with Doug Braithwaite. I'm all over the place.
Adaptions,
adapted the Victor Hugo book.
Yeah.
So it's like when I meet an artist or get to know an artist that I really get along with, all I need is... a couple of little clues, and okay. I know how they work, and I know how to write to their strengths. So it becomes a proper collaboration, not just a writer giving a script to an artist to say go away and do it. It's really collaborating.
We talk a lot about that on the podcast. About there are different forms of collaboration. There's like you write a script and it sits in your drawer for years, and finally you find someone who's willing to do it, and then you sometimes don't hear back for like 2 years sometimes, and then suddenly it lands on you. I know that's some things that sometimes happens with editorial-led comics, like 2000 AD, I hear, but do you enjoy that back and forth, and would the script and the story change because of what's said to you by the other creator?
Yeah, in the case of Shaky and Mark Stafford, it's very much back and forth. It's a very organic process. You know, I'll talk about ideas. Mark, for instance, will sketch some characters, and that changes the way I write the characters because they're a different person. I'm seeing them in my head, and when I see Mark's unique rendition,
oh, we love Mark. Mark's nuts. Yeah, absolutely
brilliant. And that will change the way I'm thinking about that character. Right. So yeah, it's very much back and forth, and it's what we're doing with our new book, Lip Hook.
Okay.
We're at quite an early stage of the story, and that was actually again, Mark actually had an idea for that, which has gone through a lot of mutations. But he just stumbled across this story of this crazy sex and drugs cult in South America, and said, "This worked really well." We sort of shifted it to an English location.
Okay. I know Mark's always in those cults. I met him at a party at Christmas. He clearly isn't, to be fair, but yeah.
So, yeah, and that was enough. You know, knowing the way Mark was likely to draw it, that single idea was just enough to, you know, I just go with it then.
Okay, so who's putting that out?
That's going to be Self-Made Hero. Okay. And we've got financing from the Arts Council.
Yeah.
Was
that an easy thing to come to? Because I know Mark does quite a lot of community-based stuff, doesn't he, as well? He does the Cartoon Museum. He was the artist-in-residence for a while, wasn't he?
He still is. Yeah, he's artist-in-residence Cartoon Museum. He's just done some stuff with the British Council, working with Korean comics creators. I don't know. It was a complicated process. It's not an easy thing. You don't just go to the Arts Council and say, hey, give me some money. You have to know how to approach filling out all the forms and ticking all the boxes. And we had some help from Self-Made Hero because some of their other books have been
companies like them, they'll almost co-finance with the Arts Council occasionally, won't they?
Oh sure. Arts Council don't give 100% funding. They want to know that someone out there is already part funding your project. And then they'll kind of basically top it up so you can actually
live. They want to know it's a sure thing before they start most. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. They don't want to be throwing money at projects that aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
So we had to show, first of all, our pedigree as professionals, which clearly we can do because we've done a lot.
Yeah.
Self-Made Hero, we're there to say we are going to publish the book. And we also got in touch with a lot of people like the Cartoon Museum, who have promised us exhibition space.
Oh, brilliant.
And we're also going to be doing a lot of workshops and lectures at colleges and schools.
Brilliant.
Basically demonstrating, because this is what the Arts Council are interested in, arts that are actually interacting with the community, actually going out there and not just sticking a book on a shelf somewhere. So we'll be doing a lot of that as well.
Okay, well, it's great for the UK comics industry as well, isn't it, that sort of thing? I think it's something we need, obviously.
Yeah. There's a surprising amount of funding is going into graphic novels now. I mean, several Self-Made Hero books, some of Jonathan Cape's.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it's because the Arts Council is just more open to that, or whether more comics creators are realising those funds are available. But it's been really helpful because it's hard to get enough of an advance from a publisher to actually live. It's particularly for the artists.
It's a big talking point at the moment, that, isn't it? You know, a lot of people
are talking about that. Yeah, if you're going to spend a year drawing a book and you're only getting a $5,000 advance,
exactly.
It's not easy.
So
it really, the Arts Council is doing a great job, really great job of actually making it, you know, just something that we can actually do, make a living, eat while you're working on the book.
And a pair of conventions, yeah. So what's next? What else have you got coming out, Dave? Is there anything on it? I know you just had Insects versus Cowboys, is that the name of it?
Cowboys versus Insects. Cowboys and Insects was the actual. Yes, that was from Floating World Comics, which is an American publisher. me and Shaky are planning more one shots like the 1,000-yard stare, and then obviously Lip Hook. I've also got a couple of projects. Oh, I'm working with an American sort of gothic rock band called September Warning. And we're doing a comic book through Top Cow, which is related. So the band, there's the band, they've got video and comic book, and it's all revolving around the character of the lead singer of September Warning. So that's interesting. And possibly I'm pitching some stuff to Hammer for their Titan line of comics.
They've done a Mummy comic recently, haven't they? And yeah, okay, can you hint at what sort of area? Is it the old Hammer House of Horror Warrior sort of period-y type stuff?
I probably shouldn't be talking about which ones it is now, but it's a very interesting one. Okay. It's one of the Hammer movies, because what they're doing is basically revisiting a lot of the classic Hammer movies, you know, like you say, like the Mummy.
Yeah, I recently bought up all the black and white magazines again for like the third time after being chucked out, and there's some just brilliant stuff in there, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, Des Skin actually did a really good job on that magazine. Yeah.
And Steve Moore as well.
Yes. Back then. Yeah. I remember John Bolton was doing stuff for them. It was really good. Yeah, it's amazing.
Brian
stuff.
Lewis as well.
Brian Lewis did, yeah, some of his best ever work was Nice One.
Yeah, he does the best Carolyn Munro ever in the history of the world. Yeah. Cool. And so where can people find you, Dave, online? Any upcoming events you got?
I'm going to be at Thought Bubble, as usual. Otherwise, I've got a blog, which you can link to through Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, I know we've interacted on Twitter recently. What's your Twitter address again?
I can't remember. but it's not that hard to find. Just go on Twitter and go search Dave Hind. I think I should come up.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's right.
Thanks,
Dave. It's brilliant, mate.
Cheers.
Right, we're here with the mighty Chris Sides at London Super Comic Con with, is it the launch of your book, The Impossible?
It is, yeah. It's just Impossible, because I'll get done for copyright infringement or something, because it's that film, isn't it? The Impossible.
What? So if it's the, you get in trouble?
I don't know. I'm just making it up.
Just dodging a potential bullet.
Don't sue me. Now, we've spoken about the book on the show a little bit, but for those of you, I mean, it looks great.
Cheers.
But tell us a little bit more about it.
It is... I had this whole pitch on Friday that was going to have this long sort of, it's 2046 and it's an astrophysicist in space, and basically he's betrayed by his crew and dropped out of his airlock, and there's this whole thing, he has to survive to get back to his family. But then today, because I'm quite tired, it's just space action explosions, and that's basically what it kind of boils down to, really. It's been right this weekend, like that, and it's nice to get.
I remember seeing the back of the book, and it's like he's stranded in space, he's floating in space, and needs to make it back. How can he do the impossible? Like literally the back of the book, if you don't want to, you know, how can you not want to read it after reading that? How long has this idea been in your head?
Long time. I think I started looking at it working on it about 2011, and then sort of really developing it around 2012, 2013. Had the scripts all ready to go, but it's just a case of getting the artists on board and stuff. So
is it a series, or is it just one story?
That's the plan. It's one story. It's a self-contained story, but the plan is eventually to I've got the second book,
have a sequel
there's three books. It's gonna be a planned trilogy, but I want to get the second book up and running as soon as possible already, so it's a planned trilogy, so we'll see what happens.
Get back from Earth into space.
That's why he's gonna go back the other way. Backwards and forwards. Spoiler alert.
And this is actually through, is it Mark Ozzie?
Yes.
So how did that come about?
I did the British Showcase anthology a few years ago, and then from there I got chatting to Harry, and I just kind of pitched it. I thought that. So.
And the pitch sells itself, doesn't it?
I hope so. Yeah, it was literally the pitch was the back of the book. What's on the back of the book?
I mean, obviously it's launching here this weekend, but what shows have you got coming up and stuff? I mean,
we've got Ice in 2 weeks' time. I'm doing something called Retro Play in Leighton Buzzard, where I live. So I think it's like games, movies, and stuff like that. It's a comics festival as well. But it's got to mix it all together.
Comics festival. See what you've done there.
Yeah. I know you like that. It's good. So that's Retro Play on the Sunday, and then I'm doing Thought Bubble. So, yeah.
Oh, right.
And I can imagine the Impossible's going to be right up the Thought Bubble crowd, sort of.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, properly good.
So, and we heartily recommend it. And we also heartily recommend that you get some Strepsils.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. You've
got a properly sexy voice.
Thanks. Thanks, Vince.
Yeah. I'll say, yeah, Batman, the animated series. Voice sorted.
Yeah. Chris Sides, he's released The Impossible today, but next week, you're starting recording, what is it, Batman 2000 Beyond, isn't it? Is that what it's called?
That's the one. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Kevin Conroy couldn't make it, so I'm on.
You can't get Kevin Conroy, you get Chris Sides. Exactly. That's what I've always said.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
Yes.
I'm here with Vince and Dan, and I thought we could do a dramatic reading of Chris Imber's comic.
Okay.
I'd like to describe the cover. Would you like to read the words?
Yes. This is Dickler and Munch Robber by Chris Imber, age 8.5.
And in it you can see what's best described as a penis with sort of legs. There is a hole at the top of the penis, so anatomically... correct.
Yeah. I mean, you're all about anatomy, Dan. Are you happy
with that?
That's
pretty bang on, yeah. Can't fault that.
I have noticed it's shaved.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that as well. Completely shaved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that.
It's a real clean line aesthetic, isn't it?
I personally know that if you take Imber's trousers off, it's like a German shepherd in his lap with his tongue out.
See, I always thought he was smooth underneath, like a Ken doll.
So the penis has got teeth and eyes, and he's talking something else. I don't know, what is that?
That's Munch Robber.
Ah, Munch Robber, yeah. What is Munch Robber meant to be?
What is he, Dan?
Could be a love aid for ladies.
Ah, love aid.
Yeah.
Nice. And in it is the penis is saying, time is it? And
Munch Robber says, spill the beans then.
And then there's a cloud of smoke, maybe a jizz cloud, and... Munch Robber is saying help.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Classic.
Finn.
Classic Bond dessiné ending.
It's beautiful. It's Art Nouveau.
Yeah.
It speaks to me on many levels.
Yeah.
Except find a little flourish that gives it.
Beautiful.
I love the mise en scène. The mise en scène of the whole thing is just incredible.
It's really going for that monotone,
look.
It speaks about the bleakness of life and how we should all strive to do better.
Yeah. And hope that our penises have got balls and legs.
Yeah. Now, he's printed it himself.
It's DIY style.
Yeah, there's four pages, and like a lot of books you see out there, it's £10.
Yeah,
£10.
£10. I mean, that's good value.
Yeah.
Good value. Original piece of work.
Yeah.
Well done, Chris. Proud of you.
Bravo.
Yeah, well done. Okay, it's the we're coming to the end of Sunday at London Super Comic Con.
Yeah.
You lovely people can probably already tell by the tone of my voice.
It's quarter to three.
It's not going to be much longer. And we're all absolutely shattered, aren't we?
I feel fine. There's nothing wrong with me.
You don't look.
I feel my legs.
You don't look fine. Yeah. How do you feel, Dan?
I don't feel below the waist, so it's kind of... That's not true. I feel up there tonight.
it's been a fun weekend. It's been a fun weekend. That's why we're tired. Too much fun. There is such a thing as too much fun.
I think I've had too much fun.
Yeah.
All over my face. I've had it everywhere.
Yeah.
I think the social aspect of the weekend has been absolutely fantastic. We've met some great creators, fans, people who listen to the podcast. It's really really nice.
Yeah, it's been really nice to meet some people that we've never met before who have listened to the show.
Yeah,
that was nice. So, yeah. So
just got rammed.
We did indeed.
Yes. What do I mean?
Ram V, the writer Ram V just
came over
and
chatted, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's a bit rude of him to interrupt. Actually, I'm not pleased with that, but I'm sure he'll make up for it.
He did actually say he was a listener.
Oh, did he? I'll let him off then. He seemed quite nice. Yeah. He had hair that was almost as good as my hair.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And we may be speaking to him a lot more fairly soon.
Yeah. As we just discussed with him.
Yeah. But as we're doing shout-outs, I'm even doing the segues now, aren't I? It's good,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
100% pro.
Oh,
all the time.
Yeah. I've been called a pro many times.
That's what we're saying here to King's Cross, spiritual home.
Yeah.
Pros.
You get a bit spicy, don't you, when you're tired?
I feel weird that we're sitting talking to each other and we can see each other.
Yeah.
I know.
That feels strange.
Should we all just close our eyes?
No,
Tony's got to read a list. That'd be rubbish. We've bumped into some lovely people this weekend. Tony, we've been making notes, haven't we, of all the
lists? We did this on the train on the way, haven't we?
Yeah, every day we've been making notes of, like, who did we see today? So, should we just blast through it?
Okay, Friday. Ready?
Yeah.
Gareth Hopkins, who gave us some artwork.
Yes.
And is an organiser here and as an earpiece.
Yeah.
And he's definitely in charge.
And went out drinking with us. And he's a lovely chap.
Pretending to go home, then turned up again in the pub later.
Yeah,
I was very impressed with him. Yeah. Ross, my boy, he was good. Milmo and Sean Jefferson, who almost got blamed for writing sex notes.
Yeah.
But the secret and the truth of it is, it was me.
Yeah.
We had dinner with the mighty Gibster.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jason Wilson, who was great company, very funny. And also Chris Weston, who told us a couple of Hollywood insider stories.
Which were hilarious.
Yeah, and one involved a kettle, but we can't divulge it.
No, we can't, but Chris Weston, supremely lovely bloke.
Yeah, really good, really great talent, yeah, excellent. Yeah. And we had a chat with him today, because the alarm went off in his hotel room, didn't it? He told us about it,
yeah.
Chris Imber and Chris Jenkins.
Lovies.
Yeah. The mighty Thorpey.
Yeah.
Who we did an interview with, which you'll hear in a minute, I suspect, or you just heard. What are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. Is it yes?
This is at the end, Tony.
Oh, okay, you just heard it. Dan Harris. Who is actually still alive.
He's still alive. Yeah. He went out last night as well.
Technically still alive.
He's technically still alive. His soul is in a dark place.
That HorrorCon that's going on.
He couldn't even be WalkerCon. Neither could I, because I can't walk. Jay Martin and Sidesy, who were downstairs in the hot hallway, weren't they? Sarah Harris, who got us presents. Brilliant stuff. To our Facebook page, you can see the amazing presents.
We tried to get some audio of when we opened the presents with Sarah, and actually she thought she was being recorded, so
yeah, she went for it, didn't she?
Yeah, but unfortunately I'd accidentally switched it off.
Matt and Mark from Hellbound Media. Matthew Harrer, who was the judge in our shit comics competition.
Which you heard.
If there's any fucking chance that came out, I'm very surprised.
If you heard it, that was Matt. If you didn't hear it, the audio was terrible.
Yeah, it was. It would have been pretty terrible. But it was a great competition. Chris and Matt from Dead Canary. Good company. Mike Garley and Martin Simmons, who we've seen a number of times, have come by and bothered us, haven't they?
Yeah. Martin Simmons has been talking with me and Dan a lot of technical Photoshop. We properly got nerded out on programs.
I'm going to set up an action to select my favourite Photoshop brush. More on that next show.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I love an action. Turn it.
The Cliftmeister, Andy Clift, who I had a great Star Trek conversation with. And he bought some Kirby Fantastic Fours, which made me become more than a little bit aroused. Simon Burks, Ricky Miller, and later in the weekend, Mr. David White, who he's standing next to us at the moment, doing a hard sell on someone. David Hine, who you just heard, and it was a brilliant interview, a really, really interesting guy. Top stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, really nice.
David Stokes, who ignored me. But he likes doing
it.
He does that on purpose. Dean Beattie, we just saw a second ago. I don't know what that says.
It's your handwriting.
And Saturday, we're on Saturday now. Richard, who came on, new listener.
I can't remember the name of that now.
Is it Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil, who's doing a book with
Rory.
Nicholas. Nicholas is doing a book with Rory Donald, which we absolutely love. And we looked at it, didn't we? Absolutely brilliant stuff. Susie and Chris Gander, who came out from here with us as well. Susie and the Beard, as they're now known.
Yeah.
Buddy Cop movie. Alex Martin, who organised the dinner, very kind of him.
Yeah.
And then took the piss out of me for the rest of the night, which is, I like that. I kind of like it, yeah.
You love it, don't you?
Yeah, he's tall though, isn't he? Do you like him?
He is tall.
Yeah.
I get nosebleeds though, looking up.
Yeah. Tom Curry.
Always a pleasure. And
bought me some avocados.
And a pork pie. Which, Tom, I know you're listening. It was lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Is McAuliffe, who we met in the pub. I'm not sure she remembers that.
Yeah.
And we met her again this morning.
Yeah.
Lady, who was doing some rather strange dancing. It looked all right.
Yeah.
Lady was here. That was good.
Something weird going on.
We got to witness him meeting Rory, which is quite nice, wasn't it? Because they've not met before and they're working on comedy. Bart Sears, who is obviously our best friend now.
Yes, he loves us.
Yeah, I promised if he ever comes back, I'll take him for a curry. He seemed quite pleased with that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's not like you to be generous.
And me and Gibbo got a picture with him, which we're very happy about.
Oh, yes.
The guy from London Super Comic Con and beyond.
We've got a bit of audio.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Have a listen to that. That's good. Brian from Geek Speak, is it?
Geek Speak, yeah, Brian.
Yeah, good to chat with him. And we mentioned his...
Brian Kurtzman, I think.
Okay, and we mentioned his podcast with on the Kirby special, didn't we? Because they do a great Kirby.
Yeah.
Iqbal Ali, who you will have just heard, who did a comic about his hometown in Bangladesh. Really interesting stuff, really thoughtful guy. I'm impressed with him. Sunday, now on Sunday.
You ready? Yeah.
You're looking at me like, you really give me weird looks now.
No.
It's weird looking at you and talking to you. I'm not used to it.
That's horrible, huh?
Yeah.
You're just not a nice person.
I can see Mike Collins over there, look.
Oh, God, yeah. He'd probably ignore us.
Yeah, he would ignore us.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No. Johnny Teasmade, the mighty Teasmade, turned up.
Me and Dan have heard a lot about Teasmade, but now we... Well, we can't make a joke, it's just lovely.
And he took maybe the best photograph we've ever have taken.
Yeah, which you may see on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Dan Mallier turned up with his boy, dressed Superman, very cool.
Awesome.
Ash Pure as well, which you just heard an interview from. The Lion and the Unicorn comic, which is really interesting stuff, really great use of colour, interesting. And Dave Frankham, whose book The Wormgler, I reviewed last year, and is really interesting sort of trippy stuff. And
when you said that, I thought it was like that Chris Imber book that we previously talked about.
Which one was that?
Earlier in this audio.
Oh, that's a great comic.
The best thing I've read all weekend.
So yeah, it's been a pretty great weekend.
Good.
Yeah.
If I had any criticism, I would say probably slightly slower footfall than last year, I'm going to say.
Yes, I would think that would be fair. I think there are certain issues. It's not without its issues.
It's a new venue, so maybe it's not running as smoothly as previously.
Yeah.
I really like the venue, I have to say.
I really like the venue. Yeah,
and they're nice and close to Upper Street, so you can go out and walk to pubs, catch points.
Yeah.
I had to run out and get some batteries. Imagine doing that at XL, that'd take you all day, wouldn't it? Try and find some.
Yeah,
good stuff. We've been right next to Lee Bermejo, and right next to Francesco Barbieri, who's done pictures of our pets.
Yeah, all three of us have had our pets drawn by... probably one of my artists of the weekend.
Yeah,
to be
really
fair,
good stuff, yeah.
Really good stuff. We'll probably, should we post them on the group as well?
Yeah, shall we?
Yeah. We'll sort them all out.
Just one for the kids, really, who are listeners.
Yeah,
and we look at the pictures of pets.
Yeah, how many kids are listeners?
I fucking hope none.
Not with your potty mouth.
Yeah.
So it's been really good.
Dan's just big because he's doing a hard sell.
Yeah, Dan is actually being professional and like actually selling things at the table.
Hey.
What's
your name, mate?
Hey Joe, nice to meet you.
Yeah, good.
You're now live on the show. see what we give our listeners?
Yeah,
you see? Yeah. We embarrass them immediately as soon as we meet. Yeah, yeah.
5 hours down from Liverpool.
No, really?
Okay.
Oh my word.
Just to see us, thanks mate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, London Super Comic Con. Good time.
I'm going to say good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Good improve, but we had an absolute great time, didn't we?
Yeah.
What about you, Dan?
Fab time. It's just so many great people, and it was a pleasure to meet them all. Yeah, love it.
So, from Tony, Dan, and myself.
Fuck you.
Yeah, see ya.
Thanks.
Poor blimey, Governor. Wasn't that amazing?
What a great time we had in London.
Yeah,
great. It was wonderful. I love Pret-a-Manger.
Buckingham Palace.
Hanging out with the guards with those furry heads. Now, I hope you enjoyed all that. Normal service will resume next week. So... And we've got some exciting stuff coming up over next week. We've got exciting stuff every week. I don't need to say that anymore, do I?
It's fairly pointless. Well, we try to, don't we? Try to encourage people to not turn off, you know. unsubscribe, whatever it is you do.
Yeah. Please don't unsubscribe. yeah, let us know what you thought of this week's episode. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If you've got any events coming up that you want us to know about, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Sorry, Tony, I messed up your email.
That's
right,
I don't mind.
Well, you don't mind. You're fairly easy. Like a Sunday morning. Follow us on Twitter
Jordan.
Oh, don't put me off, man. Follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Join the group that is the place to be on Facebook, Awesome Comics Talk. It's cracking stuff on there at the moment. And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, whatever network you found us on, if there's a chance to leave a review, please do. It helps get the word out. And much like Small Press Comics themselves, we need all the help we can get. So, but where can people find us? I was about to say lovely people, but that would be a lie because they've just heard it.
That would be a lie.
They? Yeah, complete lie.
Yeah.
Where can they find us online, etc., Tony?
Just sitting on the toilet after all the food and drinking we've been doing this weekend. Oh, you can find me there.
He's probably packed up like the M25 currently.
Yeah.
I had to work a finger up there to free it all.
Oh, work it out with a pencil. The Ezohyz, or at neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk. I put a couple of things up recently for books that have just dropped at London, but are well worth your attention if you didn't make it along.
Nice.
There you go.
Amazing. Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. If you happen to have bought book 2, you can read the rest of the issues up to 14 online, so check it out.
There's a lot of happy people that are currently listening to your dulcet tones this morning with their copy of Vanguard in their hands with a cup of coffee.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Vanguard in one hand, cup of coffee in the other.
Just a coffee. It's not what it looks like. You're back early. Anyway, you can find me online at Just a Diablo, or find out more about my comic at theredmaskfromars.com. So thank you very much for listening this week, folks. Normal service will resume as normal next week. But until then, read loads of comics, just be brilliant, and as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Just like to say thanks everyone for coming. Yep. And I wrote the note, you fucking mugs.
Son of a bitch.